Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. I've been doing this this thing we call news now for some 30 years. I've done it in two different languages, and I've done it all over the world, and obviously here in the United States. I've interviewed four U.S. presidents. I've interviewed foreign leaders. I've founded a billion-dollar business. And throughout all of that, what I've learned is that we, when we communicate, should be honest, and we should be direct, and we should be impactful. And this is direct impact. I want to start today with something that we really, really need to talk about. Why is it that our political system is the way it is? And maybe it's time to change it. And let me start with this. Never before in our country's history have we been so divided. It's almost as if people in the United States right now are two different countries. There's one country of Republicans, and there's another country of Democrats. And the question really is this. Why? How come, right? Why do we have to choose between one and the other? Why can't we agree to disagree or agree with both at times? And why do we give so much power to parties that many times put their needs above our needs?
Mr. Chairman, we have the email. There is no fringe.
Excuse me, it's not your time.
Jordan, you do not have the time. Please be respectful of your colleague.
Someone directly,
she controls
directly,
the time.
Directly.
Put your mask on. Put your mask on.
Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Raskin.
Mr. Jordan.
You want to talk about masks.
Mr. Jordan, Ms. Scanlon.
Why would the Deputy Secretary of Treasury?
Why do we do it? Because apparently the need to beat each other up is more important to these parties than the need to serve us. In other words, beating the other party is worth more than the interests of the country itself. And what's worse about all of this is that now each party has its own means of communication. No, I mean, I'm not kidding. Think about this for a minute. Look around, right? There are newspapers that only present Republican points of view. There are other newspapers that only present Democrats' points of view. There are television networks that only present news for Republicans. They just want you to hear what they think you think, right? And there are also television networks that only report news for Democrats. So we almost have to ask ourselves then, right? Shouldn't there be competition between political parties? Yeah, I understand. We should have a contest of ideas, right? But ideas shouldn't just be limited to two ways of thinking. Social psychologists are going to tell you that when there are only two options, we become or are more apt to be divided and more locked into our ideological, you know, rigid stances, right? In other words, we stop thinking. Now, could it be that this is exactly what these parties want? For us to be constantly at odds, right? I want to show you something. This is a fascinating study that I'm going to share with you right now. It's a study they did over at Pew. This is a Pew Research study. It's kind of incredible. So look at this. From 2016 to the present, the percentage of Republicans who think Democrats are essentially liars increased from 45% to 72%. So whatever they hated before, they hate it more now. While at the same time, they asked Democrats the same question. What do they think about Republicans? And they too said that they think Republicans are liars, and that number increased from 42% to 64%. So the thought process has only increased more recently from 2016 on. In fact, it seems by looking at this study that they've never hated them so much. They've never hated each other so much. Here's another one. When Republicans are asked if they think Democrats are immoral, that number goes from 47% in 2016 to 72% now. Same thing is true with Democrats. They're asked the same exact question. And there, the whole immoral thing goes from 35% before to 63% now. And look at how they behave when they come together, or not, in protests all over the country. I mean, you see that and you think, we almost act as if we're not Americans, but rather enemies. There's no question that there is, at this particular point, seemingly a crisis in the United States, a crisis of division and a crisis of hate. Is it possible that it is designed to create division that suits various interests, which is why it seems to be growing and growing each and every year, and nobody seems to be able to corral this, these feelings of antipathy? And by the way, the media, rather than telling us important stories, continues to perpetuate this stuff. So why not then other parties? Why not other ideas? And maybe the most important question of all, as we look at this, why so much hate? And joining us now is Malik Abdul. He's a radio host. He's also a Republican strategist. You ready? You want to talk about this? Because I think this is a fascinating subject, by the way.
Hey, let's go for it. We talk about it a lot, but not in really any... We talk about it typically in sound bites. So, you know, I think we have a bit longer than 3 minutes to talk about it.
Thank God. Why does America have a two-party system that seems to be not working, to me? I want to know what you think. And kind of creating havoc in this country. An awful lot of hate, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's a duopoly system. I think a large part of that has to do with, I'll back up a bit. So I think about what we talk about on the radio show. We talk about geopolitics a lot on the show.
Yeah.
And you see in places all around the world, not what's happening in South America right now, but in places around the world, how they challenge their governments, how they protest in the streets. You see you've been following what's been happening in Europe. We see the protests that have been in Prague and Brussels and all in the streets in response to various things, whether that's support, you know, whether that is in protest of the government's involvement in the military operation, Russia's military operation in Ukraine, choosing sides in that sense, the impact that those decisions with the sanctions have had on their economies. You see them really protesting in the street about soaring energy prices, soaring food prices. We see places around Europe where they're no longer—
No, I get your point. And you're saying what? That because we have a two-party system, we don't see populace ever making their points?
I think what happens here in America, because we don't challenge our government like that. We only challenge our government like that when it comes to thing of race. That's typically when we protest in the street.
Let me stop you for a minute. I like where you're going. Let me then suggest this. The reason we don't challenge our government is because the government has given us two sides to challenge. So we'll either say something about the Republicans or the conservatives, or we'll say something about the Democrats and the liberals. But that works, I guess, for the people running the government, because they never get the attention, because the attention goes to the parties instead. Sounds like a good plan.
Well, I of course, all of this is by design. I don't think it's by design or not, but the point that I was making is that we accept this as a norm. Look at our political system, where we continue election after election after election. We talk about the party, the problem with the party, and whether it's a Republican or a Democrat. I live here in Washington, D.C. We just had a mayoral election where the mayor was attacked for not doing enough, not caring about, you know, different groups in the city, and people didn't go out in the street and protest against that. We accept these things as normal, and we don't push back against our government in the same way that we see in places, other places around the country.
Right, because the reason we don't push back against our government is because instead we think it's only one side of the government that's right and the other one is wrong. Rather than looking at things fairly, look, there's this new study. I was just sharing it with our viewers. The vast majority of Republicans from 2016 to today now think by far more, by as 20, 30 points, or as high as 20, 30 points, that Democrats are immoral. And Democrats think Republicans are immoral. Same thing as dishonest, same as closed-minded, same as not intelligent. So more and more Americans think the other guy is stupid, is a liar, and these numbers keep increasing to the point where what we have are people living in silos. No one's looking at what the government's doing. They're looking at the squirrels.
Yes, and that is an excellent point. And I think I often talk about this. I think a lot of it has to do with social media, the popularity of social media. Because if you think of what our politics was, maybe Barack Obama was the first, I guess you could say, social media president. Yeah. All of the Twitter, Facebook and all of those, they really kind of got their footing. So he was able to capitalize on that. But look at what was happening online. Look at the things that were being said on both sides. So if you dare criticize Barack Obama for anything, whether it was a valid criticism or not, you are a racist.
Think, Malik, the parties have too much power? And I'll just give you an example. There's no way in hell that you're going to convince me that most Democrats would have voted for Joe Biden. The Democratic Party decided that Joe Biden should be the president. It seemed to me, just following the election back when that was taking place, that most people were leaning toward either Bernie Sanders or maybe Elizabeth Warren or somebody else. But the party said, no, you guys all have to come together. We're going to put Joe up there. That means the people didn't pick him. The party picked him, right?
Well, I think the party always picks them. Donald Trump was an interruption of that because the party didn't pick Donald Trump.
Yeah,
but
right.
Typically what happens is the party, look at what happened in 2016. In 2016, in fact, we knew in 2009 when Barack Obama took office and Hillary Clinton was named Secretary of State, sworn in Secretary of State, we knew then that she was going to be the nominee in 2016.
Yeah, you're right.
They didn't care about Joe Biden, and
you're right.
Joe Biden was the second, if you will, most powerful person in the entire world. No one loved Joe Biden. They didn't like Joe Biden in 2020. He was a better option for outside of the establishment. He was a better option than Donald Trump. But they decided Joe Biden, this is his turn. And he was able to sell this story about how it was, Charlottesville and all of this. And he wants to restore the soul of America. That was never true.
When we come back, I want to look at it from a different framework. Let's look at the kind of systems that exist in other countries. Let's ask how many other countries have a strict two-party system like we have here in the United States, and how's that going? By the way, I want to share with you something. I have a podcast where, as a journalist and as a Latino and the co-founder of a $4 billion company, I share my stories with you, and I share with you what I've learned, and I talk a little bit about success and growth. It's called the Rick Sanchez Podcast, and I invite you to check it out, and I'm going to be looking for you there. But when we come back, let's look at something else. Who is more closed-minded in this system? Is it the Republicans? Is it the Democrats? New research. I'll be sharing.
взагалі бросила відкритий визов французькому неоколоніалізму.
Donc maintenant, nous, on a pensé qu'il faut, faire appel à la Russie. La Russie fédérale, la Russie n'a pas mal dit d'avnou, d'avnou. Вот.
Да здравствует дружба между Советским Союзом и Республикой Мали.
Самая главная причина снижения влияния европейцев в Африке – это выход Китая. Китайско-российское влияние растет. Битва за Африку, она существенно интенсифицировалась после начала российско-западной гибридной войны. Но началась эта битва за Африку, конечно, раньше.
As promised, I now want to show you another study. In this particular piece of research, they ask Americans who has a closed mind, or maybe who has the most closed minds, right? The Democrats, when asked, say it's the closed-minded Republicans. In 2016, that percentage of Democrats was 70%, and now it's 83%. 70% was high. 73%, obviously, even higher, right? Same goes for Republicans. 52% of Republicans in 2016 used to say that Democrats have a small, closed minds. Now that's up to 69%. You see the pattern here? So why does this continue to happen, right? Well, it's because Democrats don't know what Republicans are watching, and Democrats don't know what Republicans are reading. Republicans don't know what Democrats are reading or watching. They live in two different worlds, completely isolated from one another. That's why. And we're back with Malik Abdul to talk about why it is the United States has a two-party system and is it working? Evidence, new research seems to indicate Americans have never been so siloed, never been so divided. And more Americans feel like they're not really choosing their leaders. Corporations are. So I did a little studying, Malik, and I looked to see what other countries have a system like ours. I was surprised. Not very many. The United States, the Bahamas, Jamaica, and Zimbabwe. Those are the only countries in the entire world that have a strict two-party system. Everybody else has a three or a four. Why is that? Are you surprised, by the way, when I tell you that?
No. And I would say I'm not surprised as of recently. As I say, you know, as you start to follow geopolitics and see how these governments or parliaments are run around the globe, I think it becomes a little more apparent. But no, I'm not surprised. I thought it would probably at least be 10. I didn't know it would be less than 10. But I think I don't know. You know, why is it that way? I don't know. Many people might argue that, and even though the Constitution itself, I don't believe the U.S. Constitution spoke of a specific political party.
No, the history of the United States is replete with multi-parties. Back in the 1700s, when it all got started, there were about four. Then it changed, and they've morphed, and some parties have come into other parties. We've had four, we've had five, we've had six parties. Suddenly, all those parties morphed into two.
It went down.
And now we only have either Republican or Democrat, interestingly enough. Here's how it works around the world. In most countries around the world, there are parties that, as you mentioned earlier when we were talking about this, are appealing because they are for one thing. Let's say unions, for example. There's a party where people are really, where that's important for them. So they're the union party. There's other parties that surround climate change. And to them, that's important. So they're the climate party. So you have issues that are important to different peoples in a country. And they form parties around those issues. And then they bring those issues forward. And if enough people care about that, that party wins the election. You know, that seems to me something that makes more sense than just be Republican because you hate Donald
you hate Joe Biden, or B, Democrat because you hate Donald Trump. I mean, it seems like we don't get to decide issues in this country. And that's just the way the government seems to want it.
Yeah, if you think of just the early days of the union, back when unions were fighting for basic rights, so when they were fighting for employment wages and, you know, better working conditions and things like that, or you listed, think of what the Pullman porters, they were fighting, they were, you know, the first Black, I think, international union, but they were fighting for wages and, you know, employment conditions and things like that. But then at some point it became political, where instead of just fighting for those basic things, that whether you are a, you know, you're in West Virginia or Washington, D.C. or Maryland or Mississippi, you can all agree on. I grew up in Mississippi, so I come from a union family, and I know that there are people, they fought for those type of things, but it became politicized. Why? I would have to do some digging on why did unions become politicized. I'm pretty sure it has to do with their access to power.
But there is no Workers' Party in America. There's no Workers' Party in America. The Democrats may claim it, but they're not, right?
Nope. No, it's not at all. And that's part of, like, I would have to go and look and see what happened, because something changed fundamentally, not just with the parties when they talk about the switch, well, you know, the where Republicans then became Democrats. Not that switch. I'm talking about when it became the interest in labor, the fighting for the workers. At some point in our history, that changed, and it became a corporate thing where they were fighting for corporations as opposed to fighting for the people. And politics somehow got in the way of that. And I think that the politics was the interruption that got us where we are today. Once they got into, because both parties, both Democrat and Republican, realistically can fight for that union vote, because they agree basically in principle on many of the same things. But it's so heavily weighted now that unions are associated with the Democratic Party as the same way that Second Amendment is associated with the Republican Party, even though, as I say, I'm from the South, I'm from Mississippi, I grew up in a family of Democrats. They are all gun owners, trust me.
But it seems to me, even the things that you just mentioned are so minuscule in the scheme of things. I mean, we'll argue about whether the size of the gun that you're allowed to have on in your closet, and whether you should have 15 bullets or 18 bullets. And yet at the same time, we all are not even allowed to have a discussion as to whether or not it's okay for our government to invade some country like Iraq for no reason whatsoever that absolutely did nothing to us, we now know. And yet that's okay. We just forget it. In fact, the people who got us into that war now appear on NBC and CBS and all these stations like they're geniuses. Geniuses for what?
Well, think about what we've been finding out with the Twitter files. We have members of Congress who sit on the Senate Foreign Intelligence Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Dianne Feinstein, encouraging Twitter, social media companies, to find something, to find some sort of connection, to make sure that we can get this Russian bot connection in order to debunk, in order to push this narrative of this Russia collusion, Donald Trump. This was happening in our government. It's the same government that was trying to encourage, pressure social media companies to ban certain people. This is our government. How do these things happen? Because we allow them to happen. I don't think these Twitter files, eventually, this time next year, no one's going to be talking about Twitter files, but Republicans in Congress who are going to be holding House investigations on it. But we would have moved on.
Malik Abdul, great guest. Thank you, sir, for taking time to take us through this.
Thanks for having me.
All right, before we go, I want to remind you of something. Our mission, really, and it's pretty simple, and particularly apropos on this newscast that we just did. Wouldn't it be nice if we could de-silo ourselves, de-silo the world? I mean, we've got to stop living in these little tiny boxes, because truths don't live in boxes. Truth is everywhere. That's important for us. We'll keep trying. I'm Rick Sanchez, and I will be looking for you again right here, where I hope to provide a direct impact.